Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Philippians and the chapter number 1, Philippians chapter 1. And we commence reading God's precious word here at verse number 19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious infallible word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word once again this morning, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt teach us and lead us into all truth. We pray that our Heavenly Father, that thou wilt mold our lives in accordance to thy word and in accordance to thy will. And we pray that thou wilt reveal thyself once again through the reading and through the meditating on thy precious word. Speak to me that I might speak in the living echoes of thy tone. We claim the covering afresh of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We claim the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that this morning, as we leave the house of God, that we might know what it is to having that heartwarming experience that they experienced on the road to Emmaus when the Savior opened unto them the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. We pray this, O God, that our hearts and minds will be drawn to the Savior. Our eyes may see him by faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We were thinking in the book of Philippians chapter 1, last Lord's Day in verse number 21, the tremendous, powerful words of testimony that Paul was able to make. He says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And surely there we see a person that is totally surrendered unto the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We see not only a surrender there, we see a solace there, we see a serenity there. And how that God's child is not afraid of anything, whether it be in life or whether it be in death. For thank God he has a serenity in his heart. For he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I was reading about a preacher who was Dr. Telford. He was in an elevator over there in Georgia, Augustus, Georgia. And as he was getting into the elevator, he looked at the man who was there. He was the person, he was the helper there. And he asked him a question. He said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He says, "Will your last trip be up or will it be down?" And you know, the man for a moment didn't know what to say. He was rather struck by the word, because he knew what the preacher was talking about. "Will your last trip be up or will it be down?" Well, Paul was able to say, "Listen, for to me to live is Christ, but praise God, to die is gain." But he doesn't stop with those words, because let's just move on. But it says in verse 22, "But." And so he intervenes in the midst of this, and he said, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. And we see here in these words the surrender in the life of the Apostle Paul. He says, for me to live is Christ. He says, to die is gain. But he says, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And so we find that there is a contrast here, because Paul gives a contrast between living in the presence of the Savior and living in the flesh. Living in the presence of the Lord to be with Christ. Living in the presence of the Lord. And he said that would be gain. But he also then says, but if I live in the flesh. And what he's saying here is, if I continue to live. He says, if I don't die as a martyr, if I am released, then if I live in the flesh. But what does he mean? He says, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And what he meant was simply this: if I remain in the body, he believed that he would have fruit for his labor. You know, as far as life was concerned, living, whilst it was true that to be with Christ was gain, but living wasn't wasted. He didn't see living as a waste of time, because he believed that if God ordained it so to be that he was to live instead of die, that God would use him until the day that God would call him home. By staying with them, he believed that he would have more fruit, there would be more fruit for his labor among them. Martin Luther said it like this: but since to live in the flesh served to produce more fruit. And therefore, if his life was to be more valuable to Christ and was to be more valuable to the work of Christ and the cause of Christ and the gospel of Christ and the people of Christ, then he was willing to live. He was willing to live. In other words, there we see Paul's surrender. But you'll notice Paul opens his heart then in the rest of this verse and the next verses. Because he said, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. And so what he's saying is here, you know, well, if I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. If I have to remain living, I know that I will have fruit among you. But he says, you know, if it was left to me, if it was my personal desire, he said, to be honest, I could not say what that would be. I don't know. He said, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. And so the choice whether to live or to die was a difficult choice that was in the heart. And he opens his heart and he tells us honestly, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, just how difficult it was in deciding. Because in verse number 23, he says, for I am in a strait. And that brings not only to his surrender, he makes a statement here. And that we come to this morning, his statement in verse 23, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And so what Paul is saying here, he's opening his heart and he's honestly letting you see that there are two desires. He says, I am in a strait. He was torn between two desires. Now, the word strait means, it simply means distressed or hard-pressed. He was hard-pressed by what decision he would have to make. He faced the difficulty in coming to a decision of what was best. And he says, I am in a strait betwixt two. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And I see here in those two verses, in this statement which he makes, two desires. On the one hand, he has his personal desire. And then on the other hand, he has his pastoral desire. So he has two desires that are in his heart, and he's in a strait. He's hard pressed, because these desires that are within his heart, In certain ways, they were in conflict the one with the other. He says, I am in a strait betwixt two. He says, I have a personal desire. And he says, my personal desire, to be honest, he says, I desire to be with Christ. He says, I desire to depart. That was his personal desire. Having a desire to depart. Because he knew that that would be to depart to be with Christ. And then he goes on to say, which is far better. If you turn to the book, just keep your hand there, 2 Corinthians, and the chapter 5. It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore we are always confident knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. And he said, because he knew that what that meant was to be absent from the body and to be at home or to be present with the Lord. And so therefore you can see the conflict. He had a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That word depart, he said he had a desire to depart. That word is the word that he uses when he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, what was he saying here? What does the word mean? The word means the untying of the tent ropes from the stakes in preparation for moving on. Recent time, we had the big tent up there, the Moneymore Road, and we had to untie because there came the time for the mission was over. And the tent was going to move on. And so therefore there was the untying of the tent ropes from the stakes that kept the tent up and kept it steady in preparation for moving on. And so Paul, when he looked at his own heart and life, he said, I have a desire to depart. He says, I have a desire for the tent ropes to be untied from the stakes of this old world because I want to move on. He wanted to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. And when Paul looked at death, he saw it as the loosening of the ties that held him to this old life and give him the freedom to move into the presence of the Savior. Because you and I know that we are tied to this old world. We're in the world, as we'll see later on. We're not off the world, but there are the stakes that hold us. There's the ties that hold us to this life, to this present time. And so he saw this. He saw this departure as to be with Christ. You notice there's no soul sleep there. He's talking about absent from the body in 2 Corinthians. And immediately present with the Lord. And here he says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. You see, for Paul, death was not a tragedy. Humanly speaking, the circumstances of death, we look at it as we ponder about it even this very day. We look on the circumstances of death being a tragedy. But to be honest, for the child of God, death is never a tragedy. It's never an unwelcome tragedy. It's not a voyage out into the unknown because he says to depart. He says, I'm going to be with Christ. So instead of living in the body, in the flesh, he said, I have a desire to live in the presence of Jesus. And this was the battle was going on in his heart. How glorious and how wonderful he saw that communion with his Savior. This warrior of the faith. Notice how he puts it. He says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. In other words, better beyond all expression. You could not imagine. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. And so whenever he thinks about being with Christ, he said, it's better beyond expression. I can't express the glory and the wonder and the bliss of what it means to be with Christ. To be loose from all the suffering. To be loose from all the anguish and pain that God's servant endured as a faithful servant of the cross. So we find that God's servant is in a strait. He's hard-pressed because there's a battle going on in his heart betwixt two. He had this personal desire. And he opens his heart and he said, you know, what I shall choose I would not, because it's difficult here. This is a difficult choice. Because there's a choice between his personal desire and his pastoral desire. Or his pastoral choice. Because he said in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And whilst there was a desire, a longing for home, and Paul wanted to go home to be with Christ and have that, dwell in the presence of Jesus and have that sweet communion with Christ for all eternity, yet deep in his heart, Paul knew it wouldn't. Whilst he said, to be with Christ, that's far better. But he knew it wouldn't be better for the saints. He knew that the believers here, they needed the guidance, they needed the counsel of God's servant. You know, sometimes, be honest before God, you and I get caught up with what's best for us rather than what's best for the cause of Christ. Or what's best for us instead of what's best for others. But Paul, as he looked at this, and there was a battle going on in his heart, he knew deep in his heart that these believers needed help. These believers needed encouragement. And although it would be better off by far to be with Christ, he realized that for their sake, it was better to remain in the body. He knew that for nevertheless, he said, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And brethren and sisters in Christ, surely here we see a Christlikeness. Because the Lord Jesus Christ spent his earthly ministry for the needs of others, not for the need of himself. And if we are to follow Christ, then we are to show that example as well. Not caught up with me and what's best for me, but what is best for the cause of Christ. You see, living to Paul was not meaningless. He had a wonderful experience that he could share. He had wonderful influences to give. He had wonderful counsel that would be a benefit to the church of Christ. And he was happy that that was used whatever way God wanted it. Happy. Remember some years ago visiting a man in the hospital. And he was a senior man. He was a pensioner. And I went to see him in the hospital. He wasn't saved. And thank God that God gave me the joy and the intensive care of leading him to Jesus Christ. Remember he said to me when I was going out that day, Mr. McRae, could you ask them to bring in my Bible? Just a newborn babe in Christ. Bring in my Bible. And he wasn't, you know, he couldn't see very clearly, and so he had a big Bible, and the Bible, big writing, and I brought it in. And every time he went into the ward, there he would see the Bible either sitting there at the side of his bed or he was reading the scriptures. This day I wanted to see him. I remember it well when I was in seeing him and was talking with him. You know, he said, you know, Mr. McRae, he says, I'm so happy. I feel I'm the happiest man in the world. I asked him how he was. And he says, you know, I haven't been feeling too well these last days, but I'm the happiest man in the world. And he says, to be quite honest, I just told the Lord this morning, Lord, if you want me to live, I'm happy to live. And if you want me to die, I'm happy to die. She says, to be honest, I'm just happy whatever God wants. Well, I said, brother, you know, that's a wonderful way to be. And I opened the scriptures and I started to read the scriptures with him. And then I started to pray. In the middle of my prayer, I heard this, this gasp. And the nurses came running in to where I was in the intensive care. And the doctors, they started to flow in. They started all these machines around them. In a few minutes' time, they pulled the curtains. They said to me, Mr. McRae, he's dead. It's all over. Friend, a few moments before that, he said, just like Paul, he says, if God wants me to live, I'm happy to live. If God wants me to die, I'm happy to die. I'm happy to do whatever God wants. I feel the happiest man in the world. And friend, to be quite honest, Paul had a desire. He was honest. He had a desire to do, if it was his desire, then he wanted to go home to be with the Lord. But he was happy to stay because he believed before God the church of Christ at that time needed him. Are you happy to do what God wants you to do, friend? Are you happy to go with God this morning? Or are you fighting the will of God? Are you resisting what God's commanding or stating to you, what God's talking to you about? Are you resisting him? Or are you happy just to say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm happy to do. And that's what Paul's saying. He knew deep in his heart, nevertheless, whilst he wanted to go home to be with Christ, which is far better, beyond expression, far better. But he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And then he goes on to say in a statement this. Look at verse 25. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and your joy of faith. He says, having this confidence, he was persuaded of this, that the Lord wasn't taking him home just at that time. He still had a work to do for God. And what he says is this, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and your joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant. He's not talking about him. He's not talking what made him really happy. He's talking about your joy, your rejoicing. Once again, he's thinking what's best for the people of God. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And so whilst he desired to depart, he expected that God was going to permit him to live. He was persuaded that God was going to bring him and preserve him a little longer. He speaks about continuing with you all. He believed that God would bring him back into the fellowship among the people of God. That he would permit it not only to enjoy their company, their fellowship. He says, I know that I shall abide. And can why was he happy to do that? Because he said this, for your furtherance and joy of faith. For your furtherance. Now that's the same word that the word furtherance was found in the earlier on in the chapter, verse number 12. But I would you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And now he's talking about your furtherance and your joy of faith. Remember what we said? The word furtherance meant it was the woodcutter who would make a trail for the army, go before the army, would cut away the underbrush and open up a pathway. And he believed that God was going to permit him to stay with them. What for? So that they would deepen their walk with God. So that they would be blessed and that they would be rejoicing in the Lord, that they would grow in their faith. That's what he said. He says, for the furtherance, for your furtherance and joy of faith. You know, that amazing, that's an amazing surrender, isn't it? An amazing statement. He was happy to postpone going to heaven to further the growth of the believers in Christ, that they might grow in grace and walk with God. And that brings me then, very quickly, to the next verse, because here not only we see his surrender, his statements, but here we see his standard, verse 27. Only, he says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, here's his standards here. Because Paul once again turns to the instruction of the saints as how they ought to live, whether he is absent from them or whether he is present with them. You know, some people, you know, change their behavior when somebody's there in their presence, and if they're away, they'll do the very opposite. Often here, you know, sometimes people, you know, some young people, whenever maybe mom and dad's away from home, maybe they're away on holidays, and some young people, they don't necessarily tidy things up, and they don't keep the house tidy, and maybe the dishes are not washed, and all the rest of it. But you see, whenever mom and dad's coming home, we better get everything in place. And maybe they get the Hoover out, and they get the dishes washed, and they get everything put back in place. Why? Because mom and dad's coming. Paul says, whether I'm absent or present, whether I'm with you or whether I'm away from you, listen, this is how you ought to live. Now let's look at verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Now what does that mean? You see, today the word conversation, it means talk or speech. But that's not the meaning of the word here, because it means much more here. It basically means their manner of life, their behavior. And this is something that covered every aspect of their lives, whether it was in word, whether it was in action, their behavior. It was not conversation in the sense of language. It was conversation in the sense of living. It was not conversation in the sense of words. It was conversation in the sense of works. You see, the original word used here meant to administer the state or to live as a citizen, to conduct one's self according to the laws of the state. And what Paul's saying is this. He says, only let your conduct, let your conversation be as becometh the Christian. In other words, let your conduct as a Christian and as a citizen become the gospel. In other words, to bring credit to the gospel. And that's how you and I ought to live. We ought to live our lives as becometh the gospel, to bring credit to the gospel of Christ. You see, he who is saved by the gospel ought to walk worthy of the gospel, living a life that is appropriate to the gospel. Now, the question, therefore, we should ask ourselves is this morning. When people look at our lives, when people listen to our conversation, when people examine the manner of life that we live before them, do they see that I am a Christian? Is my life that I'm living before the world one that becometh the gospel? Now, you or I are in this world, but we're not to be off the world. The word becometh there. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. That's an interesting word. Because sometimes you hear of someone's clothing, they're dressed. And to be quite honest, that really doesn't become them. It doesn't become them. What does that mean? It means that they're clothed in certain things that really would become a younger person. But it doesn't become an older person. In other words, there's certain clothing, when it's worn, it just doesn't become you. Have you ever heard the old statement, mutton dressed up as lamb? And to be quite honest, it's not becoming. A person who is an elderly person and they try to dress themselves as if they were a teenager. Now, to tell you the truth, people might tell you it's lovely, but to tell you the truth, they're snickering behind your back. Because it doesn't become you. It's not appropriate for you. Now, the Word of God tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, that we are to adorn ourselves, we are to adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior. In Titus chapter 2, just turn to that verse for a moment. In Titus chapter 2, and the verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly in this present world. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Adorning the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, the word adorn is to array or to put in order. And so what the Word of God is really telling us is that our behavior, our conversation should demonstrate that we are citizens of heaven. It should adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And so Paul's saying here in this verse, let your conduct be such that is fitting, that is becoming to the character that you claim for yourself. If you claim that you're a Christian, if you claim the name of Christ, then you ought to adorn yourself and you ought to, your conversation ought to show forth that. Your manner of living, the manner of presentation of you as a child of God ought to become the gospel of Christ. In other words, walking worthily. Walking worthily. The previous book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. We are to frame our lives by the rules of the gospel. And you and I know that Christian behavior in Scripture is likened to garments. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, it talks about putting on. And it talks about putting off. And so the question comes as this. Do your spiritual garments and the conduct of your life become your Christian profession? Is that the way you're living? You know, some people think that, you know, it doesn't really matter how I live as long as I have a profession of faith in Christ. Friend, it does. Notice the opening word of verse 27. Only let your conversation. See that word only? It means at all costs. Above everything else. Above all costs and at all costs, let your conversation become the gospel of Christ. You are to walk worthy of the cause of Christ. And notice what Paul says this. Whether I come and see you or else be absent. You're not only to do it because somebody else is there watching you, but you're to be this person at all times. You're not to be a pretender. You're not to put on the show whenever somebody's about. I remember as a young preacher, I did things, I suppose, that were, well, you wouldn't do them now, I suppose, in older age, but I remember going into this house, and there's this lady who professed to be a strong Christian and all the rest of it, and she was also a smoker. And, of course, she never would smoke in your presence. She always did it behind your back. And you always made sure that you were in. So I can remember going into this house, and just as I was going through the door, to be quite honest with you, I happened to see her throw the packet of fags, as it were, in underneath the cushion, or underneath, there on the seat. And as I say, you do things, I suppose, in your youth that you wouldn't do. But whenever I was getting up off the seat after having been there for some time, I made sure I put my hand around and pulled the cushion with me. And of course, whenever I looked around to see if I was having had everything, of course, there were the packet of fags were just lying. And you could see the face getting as red as anything. She was absolutely blushing. Now, friend, why was she blushing? Because I saw them. Did the Lord not see them? Had the Lord not taken notice of them? You see, Paul is saying here, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And then he brings two thoughts, and we haven't really time. I'm going to have to finish here because I know some folks do want to go to the funeral this afternoon. Then he said this, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind. And then he says this, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And he brings two thoughts before their attention. He talks about their stand, and he talks about their striving. We'll have to come back to that. Their stand. He pleads with them. He says this. Whether I come and be with you, he says, when I hear of your affairs, he says, I want to hear that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Now, that didn't mean that they were double-minded. He was talking about them standing fast in one spirit with one mind. And then he talked about their striving. And once again, he emphasized it. Notice the next word, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not striving against each other, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. To do that, we'll have to come back to it. I pray that God will just help us to understand this. But friends, learn this morning. Let only, above all else, let our conversation be, let our life that we live be as becometh the gospel. Let our lives bring glory to God. Let us die to self and live for Christ. For that's what Paul said. You see, for to me, to live is Christ, and then to die is gain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy precious word this morning, for the instruction that You give to us in it. Lord, Thou art challenging our hearts and lives concerning how we ought to live, and how important it is, the life that we live before the world and before others, that we might walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus, that we might walk worthy of the gospel, that we might adorn the gospel of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the lives that we live in this world. Oh God, help us to live carefully. Help us to live prayerfully. Help us to live in accordance to Thy word, that nothing we will do or say will discredit the cause of Jesus Christ, but that in all things we might bring glory to Him. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake.